followed by an executive session workshop.
12:54. Andy, you familiar with that, the Fort bonding deal?
Yeah, I'm familiar. Ready.
All right. Representative Mann.
Which one?
12:54.
Mr. Chairman, the committee. Mr. Germstead, who is the principal sponsor of this bill, requested the Port Oregon Public Port Authorities Association of the Port of Hood River is out of the state. And Mr. Day, who is chairman of the House Planning and Development Committee, was supposed to represent him here today, but Mr. Day has another bill. He has to be here at this time. So I've decided, agreed to fill in for that. This bill was passed originally by the 1955 legislative session. It was sponsored by my father and Senator Lowell Steen at the request of the Port of Umatilla, of which I happened to be the president at that time. The reason for the asking for the bill was to help ourselves by constructing at that time a grain elevator, which we had a contract for the occupation and use of which the payment for the contract would have paid for the elevator over a period of 20 years. This law provides for the issuance of revenue bonds for purposes of constructing port facilities and pledges of, and then the pledges of revenue of the facility pay for the bond, pay the bond issue off, and also allows the pledging of all other revenues of port facilities for paying the bond issue off. This bill, I don't believe, has ever been used because of the fact that the main bond attorneys in this state, Schuler, Rankin, Myers, and Walsh, and Davies, Big Strayer, Stolen Bully of Portland, have refused to write
a that name again, Wesley. I want to write it down.
Davies, Biggs, Strayer, Stoll, and Bully.
Thank you, I got it.
Both of the firms of Portland have refused to write approving opinions. Their first objection is to the phrase net effect, which is found in the bill on line 16 on page 2 and on page 4 in lines 2. And they say that this phrase should be eliminated because it is vague, and for this reason they can't write an approving opinion on a bond issue under this law, and they say that if we pass the law, then the issuance of revenue bonds as originally intended may become effective. The law is in the law, this particular law is useless. I might add right here that with this bill, our statute has been amended several times at the suggestion of these same attorneys. And each time we've eliminated some vagueness. I remember I was down here in 1961 during before House local governments to get similar amendments to this bill. The second change that they suggest in it is the striking on page 3, at the bottom of page 2, on line 22, and on page 3, lines 1 through 4, where the provision, so long as the face value of all revenue bonds outstanding, with the issue then proposed to be authorized, United States 60% of the reasonable market value of all the facilities under the control of the board. The attorneys say that to determine what the words reasonable market value are without having to conduct an involved and expensive appraisal each time an attempt is made to sell revenue bonds to a financial institution. It is too difficult, and financial institutions are not particularly interested in this anyway, and this clause actually serves no useful purpose. The Oregon Public Port Authorities sought the help of these two firms in suggesting amendments to the legislature so that bonds could be issued, revenue bonds could be issued under the statute, and that's what House Bill 1254 does. And the attorney, Kenneth Abram, who is sitting here and is attorney for the Port of Hood River, had communication with these attorneys, the Davies, Biggs, Strayer, Stoll, and Bowley firm, and I have here copies of the letter that Mr. Booth of that firm has written to Mr. Abrams, and I have a copy for each member of the committee. And I would commend this legislation to the committee. These revenue bonds have been used very successfully in the southeastern part of our country for purposes of industrial development of that area, and I think it would be the advantage of the state of Oregon to have an effective revenue bonding authority for ports.
Any questions to witness?
Yes, one question. Don't you have limited authority now under your port authority?
We have the authority, Senator. Yes, indeed we do, but the two bonding firms will not approve it for sale.
Yeah.
For the purchase.
I know those people. I know who you're talking about.
I do, too.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
All right. Any other questions? All right. Thanks, sir.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Mr. Abraham?
Mr. Chairman, I'm Kenneth Abraham, and I'm an attorney practicing in River, Oregon. I'm the attorney for the Port of Hood River, and I've been involved in a number of revenue bond problems over the years. I've handled three or four large revenue bonding majors for the Port of Hood River in connection with the Hood River White Salmon Bridge that they operate. This, I only mention this as my background in relation to revenue bonds. The legislation under which we acted there is a special type of legislation that this legislature passed a number of years ago. And as Representative Mann has pointed out to you, there's been an attempt to get legislation through which will enable us to grow out of our own profits without going back to the taxpayer to support our growth. And we get an industry, and we have a couple in our area now. And I don't know whether any of you've been through the river in recent years, but we've made great strides in developing industrial areas in the river. And it's from the income of these industries, like the rentals that they pay us or the monies that they pay us in connection with land that they're purchasing on a contract, we would like to be able to take those monies or those credits and go to the bank and say to the bank, if you will loan us $25,000 or $50,000, we'll pledge to you the revenues that we have coming from rentals or from payments on land and so forth for as long a period as necessary, 4 or 5 years, to guarantee our repayment of this loan. In other words, we're just trying to accelerate and use the money that we have because we can't use it in the dribbles that it comes in. Now, the banks are happy to do this. They're happy to do this if we can get a bond opinion. And we can't get a bond opinion for the reasons that Representative Mann has pointed out, which is in the explanation in support of the bill. Now, Representative Mann did tell you that this, in his opinion, or to the extent of his knowledge, this particular law had never been used for revenue purposes. As a matter of fact, the Port of Hood River has used it. We used it on several occasions, but we did it without a bond opinion. We were able to pledge revenues in connection with some dredging work, and the attorney for the dredging company, not having the particular airless bond attorney would have, was willing to accept the law on its face value and not worry about the technical means of net effect and net support and so forth, because he knew we would repay it in a period of a year, which of course we did. But if we could get this cleared up, I think we can use this particular legislation and use it effectively. I'm speaking about the Port of Hood River. Now, other ports, I'm sure, can use it and will have greater need for it in the future. But as it stands now, it's just a worthless bunch of language. It's not worth anything to anybody.
Any questions, the witness?
Well, I think Representative Mann's father was doing the best he could. He ran up against an important lawyer.
They are tough too, especially these bond attorneys.
Any other question? Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Mr. McLucas.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, my name is Mike McLucas. I'm the manager of the Port of Hood River. There's very little that I can add to what's been said by Representative Mann and our attorney, Kenneth Abraham, other than to say that as manager of the board, I can see with the land that we now have in the this is to say that our efforts to this point have been in each and every case where we could to create land by means of hydraulic dredging, deposition of spoils along park as stands in need of development, additional entries to what we now have, the easiest means by which this many times can be accomplished is by a revenue bond issue secured by the revenue generated by a particular facility which is located there, also by other revenues of the court. At the present time, it's been noted by both Representative Mann and Attorney Abraham, we're powerless to do this. We would like to have use of this legislation. To do so requires that a bonding council would write an approving opinion, telling us, of course, that we could use it. At the present time, the principal bonding firms will not write such an approving opinion, and as such, we're stopped, you might say, from making use of legislation which does appear on the book. That's really all I can say.
Any questions?
Yes, Mr. Chairman. Does your court authority have any authority to issue general obligation bonds?
Yes, we do.
There's a certain limitation.
Yes. But we would rather issue the revenue bond as opposed to GO bonds by reason of the fact that this doesn't then attach the tax levy to it as a means of support. It also is an easier issue and a less expensive issue to issue because your GO bonds require, of course, improving towards the people.
Any other questions? No, thank you.
Mr. Chairman, thank you.
Baldwin.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, I'm George Baldwin, general manager of the Port of Portland. We have recently been taking a look at this the existing legislation regarding revenue bonds in connection with some planning for future airport development. And we feel that the changes proposed by this legislation would be helpful to us in this future financing of airport development in the Portland area. Glad to answer questions that you may have.
Any questions?
Yes, Mr. Chairman. Port of Portland, you can issue up to $2 million in general obligation bonds without a vote of people.
This is correct. Yes, sir, we can. But we would prefer in our future airport development, and we have discussed this with the airlines, to use revenue bonds to be backed by leases of the airlines. And they have, at this point, are expressing an interest in doing that. We're hoping to avoid the use of general obligation bonds for airport financing in the future.
That's all, Mr. Chairman.
Senator Newbery.
I'm curious about these general obligation bonds. The time you issue, you pay out revenue, so you don't put it on the taxpayer. But when you default, you have to pick up the tax. Or has this become a levy?
We have been paying for most of our bond retirement has been paid from taxation. We have, it's six of one and a half dozen another. I mean, we are making a profit, for example, on our aviation operation. This is going into further development and eliminating some of the need for it. This has become a major source of revenue. But under the agreement that we have with the airlines for the operation of Portland International Airport, all the money that is derived from operations has to either go into further development or into bond retirement. Because the need for expansion has been going into further development.
What I understand, Mr. Chairman, is the answer to your question is that the general obligation bonds become a levy upon the taxpayer.
We have been paying for them from property taxes. They could be paid from revenue.
But they are being paid from property taxes.
Yes, sir.
So that really the effect is that the Port of Portland can put a raise taxes to the extent that it takes to cover $2 million worth of bonds. But the school district has to go to a vote of the people just to get a budget approved. How does it happen the Port of Portland seems to be more important than the Portland school?
Well, I can't I can't say that it's ever been looked at from that standpoint. The I don't know how far back this authority goes for the court to do this, but it goes
what
back a different year. The court has had the authority. The court has not issued the $2 million each year. It has been issuing in recent years bonds for industrial development because of the need for working capital and the development of the Rivergate industrial district and also the Swan Island. primarily for the Rivergate district.
This is digressive, but I want to ask one more question.
Go ahead.
How much is the levy now, Millie's levy now, as a result of the Port of Portland?
I can't tell you, Millie's the total tax levy of the port this year was just over $2 million. About $1.5 million for retirement of bond and indebtedness, and approximately $650,000 for operations. Now, the court 3 years ago and 4 years ago did not levy any taxes for operations. The only taxes that they levied were for bond and debt. Actually, our financial operations are such now, our income from our operations is such, that the only reason that we are finding it necessary to levy taxes is to provide for expansion of the facility. The growth of the economy is such that in order to keep up with it, we've got to have working capital. This will be returned. Now, for example, on the money that is being, the bonds that are being issued to finance the development of Rivergate Industrial District will eventually be more than paid back in cash flow on that program. But in the meantime, we're going to have to use some bond money. We anticipate that we'll expend in development of the Rivergate Industrial District approximately $50 million to Port itself. This is for land development, for streets, sewers, etc. We anticipate that the market sale and lease of this land will return in excess of that, and that we will need, for financing of that $50 million, we'll need about $12 million in bonds. This is on the basis of the master plan that's about 85% complete now. Now, I don't think you asked a question about comparison with education. I'm quite aware of that, having formerly been comptroller of the Port of School District. I don't think anybody has put it on the basis of a comparison there.
Well, the only reason I did is simply because here is one of those unique municipal corporations who doesn't even get elected officials, who doesn't have to go to the taxpayers to put levies on them, and they don't have to answer the taxpayer in any way, shape, or form, and yet they can sell a bond for $2 million a year, apparently, carry on their activities. And a part of the problem that apparently Portland has is because of this kind of activity. And I think that I think you hurt ports by having this more than you helped. Probably hurts all ports in the federal authority that you have.
Well, Senator, I don't know how to answer that other than saying this. The actual millage that's involved is such a small part of the total tax burden in the Portland area. This $2 million that we levy. Now, this could be eliminated. The elimination of this amount of money would affect the whole state. Portland International Airport is a regional airport serving the whole state, also the southern part of Washington. It's returning now a gross profit on operations of approximately $500,000 a year. But the business is increasing so rapidly there that we're not going to be able to take care of the air service necessary to maintain the business of this state unless we spend between $40 and $50 million in the next 5 or 6 years on that one facility. Our ship repair yard last year showed a gross profit before depreciation of about $300,000. There are about 1,600 men involved in that ship repair yard. We need about twice the number of berths that we have there now. Tied in with that ship repair yard, for example, is the Astoria Reserve Fleet. The Astoria Reserve Fleet would not have been maintained this late time if it hadn't been for our ship repair yard. There's just one example how another part of the state is affected. In our industrial development program for the development of these industrial lands, take the Rivergate Industrial District alone. We just last year sold 150 acres for a steel plant. This is going to be basic to the development of the economy of this state. Now, somehow or other, that land has to be filled, the rail has to be brought in there, the streets have to be brought in there. I think that an exhaustive investigation would show that this money has been well spent. It is making a good return not only to the people of Portland, but to the whole area. And as I pointed out earlier, we do not levy any more than we have to. In fact, 3 years ago and 4 years ago, we did not levy anything for operations. Our operations are self-supporting.
Almost again, you try to ask a question. All I wanted was a yes or no answer.
I apologize. I didn't have a chance.
Any other questions?
Yes. if you do have the authority to issue revenue bonds, then there will be no obligation. The revenue bond will not become a general obligation bond on the property.
No.
Any other questions? No, thank you.
Thank you very much.
Anyone else want to be heard on this bill?
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, I didn't get here in time to put my name on there. My name is Wayne Cordes. I don't know whether I should mention this after the comments about Portland attorneys, but I am a Portland attorney down here as Assistant Secretary of the Oregon State Public Court Authorities Association, at whose request this bill was introduced. I think that the prior speakers have covered the purposes and objects of the bill very well. We don't want to add anything further except to say that the association is composed of 22 out of the 24 public court districts in the state, and they all are interested and strongly support this particular bill. And we did want to get the, it isn't just a question of interest by the courts represented by prior speakers. The court association as a whole strongly supports it and their request. As a matter of fact, I think this is only this is one of only two bills that the association's requested this session.
Any questions on the